Penguin Random House Audio presents Hot Summer by Elle Everhart. Read for you by Marisa Carlin. It's hot here in paradise. Sideways, Carly Rae Jepsen. 1. There was nothing quite like stumbling into the office still half drunk from the night before. Cass had chewed an entire pack of gum on the way in that morning, but as a quick breath test in the lift up to her office confirmed, last night's gin was still very much present on her breath. Then coupled with the, well, artful way her eyeliner was smudged under her eyes, she looked like she'd rolled out of the sewer before dragging herself to work. In her defense, this wasn't Cass's usual commute. It was rare that she had to be in this early after a late-night event. And Cass would never have let herself drink so much if she'd known she was going to have to be here at this ungodly hour. And she especially wouldn't have drunk so much if she'd known she was going to be in a meeting with their chief marketing officer. In typical Robert fashion, though, he'd only felt the need to text her and request this god-awful 8 a.m. meeting at 9 last night, when she was already 5 drinks deep. Because he was nothing if not considerate. And all right, she shouldn't be drinking that heavily on the job. And it was the only thing that helped her pretend these dating events for Friday, the premier dating app company she worked for, had anything to offer her these days. She could only host awkward singles mixers and talk to the same carbon copy people about their very particular interests for so many nights in a row before she wanted to go lie down in the middle of the motorway and hope for the best. Cass leaned forward and examined her reflection in the lift doors. She genuinely tried to make herself look presentable this morning. I'd even borrowed some of her roommate Aisha's vitamin C serum in a last-ditch attempt to brighten things up. But you would never know it by looking at her now. Her skin was sallow, dry. Her mascara and eyeliner had refused to come off when she'd cleansed, hence the smudging. And her eyes looked like they were trying to retreat into her skull. She chugged a sports drink on the tube, but she was also halfway through an iced coffee, which was probably not doing anything to help her debilitating dehydration. Fuck. Cass muttered. She might have just been happy that she was able to show up here so early in the first place. Gin stench, dry mouth and all. But there had been something suspicious about Robert's message after she agreed to the meeting. Something that told Cass she needed her wits about her this morning. 21:34. Robert.
Great. If you could refrain from mentioning the meeting to anyone, I'd appreciate it. Talk tomorrow.
The fact that he had asked her not to let anyone know, not even her direct supervisor, had set off immediate alarm bells in Cass's head. She'd had to order herself another gin to keep from immediately texting Skye, her closest friend at work, and her second roommate, to overanalyze it. The only solution at that point had been to hope she'd drink so much that she'd forget. A solution she was clearly regretting now. Cass scrubbed some eyeliner off with her index finger before slashing open the zipper on her crossbody bag. She unearthed her lip balm and swiped a thick coat across her lips as the lift floated to a stop on the 9th floor. The lift opened onto a small lobby, little more than a reception desk and a pair of armchairs in Friday's signature purple. They'd left the standard concrete on the floor, seemingly an aesthetic choice, although Cass couldn't imagine that Friday would have been able to afford anything other than the bare minimum in the early days. But there had been concerted efforts to warm it up since they'd moved into the space 6 years ago. Cass hadn't been here then. They'd moved into this building about a year before she joined and started running their live events. But she could only imagine what this place must have looked like without all the rugs and plants and soft touches their receptionist and general genius Jana had added. Jana smiled as Cass stepped off the lift. Morning, Cass. Her gaze flicked quickly over Cass, probably taking in the way she was practically dragging her body behind her as she walked.
So you had fun last night?
Cass laughed, though it sounded more like someone had thrown gravel into a blender.
You know how much I love first date speed date night.
I need to go to one of those at some point, Jana said. The phone started ringing, and she turned toward it slowly.
My single life is, like, fucking tragic.
Jana paused.
Thank you for calling Friday. How may I direct your call?
That makes two of us, Cass whispered, as she unearthed her ID card and tapped it onto the reader on Jana's desk to sign in for the day. Jana turned her head away from the receiver to laugh.
Of course. Help, please.
She clicked a few buttons on the phone before dropping the receiver back onto the base.
Don't talk to me about tragic, Jana said, rolling her eyes.
You've got a new person on your arm every week. Cass attempted a smile, but the tightening around her eyes made her feel like her gesture probably looked less amused and more unsafe to be around. Well, someone's got to make sure the scrubs we recruit are worth our time. Jana barked a laugh and lifted her mug off her desk with a flourish. You're too much. That's what they tell me. Hey, do you know if Robert is in his office? I haven't seen him this morning, but let me check the system, Jana said. Sometimes he likes to sneak in. She took a sip of her tea and started rapidly tapping her mouse with her free hand, her eyes scanning the screen for a few seconds before she clicked her tongue. Yep, he's here. Must have shown out while I was putting the kettle on. Perfect. The sooner she got this meeting over with, the better. Thanks, Jana. Of course. Jana flashed a wink. I hope the meeting goes well. What do you know? Nothing you won't know in about 10 minutes. Now go, you're going to be late. There was no sense pressing Jana for more. Cass had worked with her long enough to know that Jana said exactly as much or as little as she was ever going to. Cass half-waved and walked off into the office, slinging her ID badge around her neck as she went. The office was quiet for 8 in the morning. Most of the events team tended to arrive around 11 or even later if they were out on location organizing some details for whatever they had going on that evening. But the day staff were numerous, about a half dozen other departments in all. It was still a little before 8, so Cass supposed most people would be rolling in over the next hour or so. But it was almost apocalyptic how silent the office was at the moment. The few people she did see were wearing large over-ear headphones and typing quietly on their keyboards. And honestly, Cass was jealous of them, in spite of the early hour. She'd do anything to hide in her music and clack away on her keyboard every day and get paid for it. Her eardrums would certainly thank her if she started spending less time a meter away from pub speakers, and it would be nice for once to switch off, to work without having to plaster some big smile on her face and act like the sun shone at her ass. Where most everyone at Friday worked at long, open tables, the executive offices were private, tucked away in the corner and lined with gorgeous windows. A few years back, they'd built a partial brick wall to separate the executive suites from the main floor, and it deadened whatever sound there was as Cass walked into the assistant bay outside the offices. Robert's assistant, Colby, was sitting, as he always was, at his desk, and he smiled perfunctorily as he finished typing.
Go on through. I've let Robert know you're here.
Thanks. Cass took another long, bracing sip of her iced coffee and opened Robert's door, and promptly squinted into the too bright sunlight shining through his windows. It felt like someone was pointing a laser directly into her retinas.
Oh, Cass.
Robert was smiling, but there was no trace of warmth in his voice.
Good morning. I hope the hour isn't too early for you.
No, not at all. They both knew Cass was lying through her teeth, but neither of them challenged it.
Well, good,
Robert said, his eyes still on his computer screen as Cass sat down on the hard purple chair opposite his desk.
Because there are some big things I'd like to talk with you about.
That couldn't be good. Oh? Robert turned in his chair, so he was finally facing her.
I have a proposition for you.
Robert tented his long fingers in front of his face, his glasses halfway down his nose so he could stare at Cass over the rims, the way he always did when he was trying to be particularly scary at their all-team marketing meetings. It was an expression that was, unfortunately, highly effective. Robert's blue eyes were famously like ice, sharp and unfeeling and deadly, like those meter-long icicles that fell off roofs in Norway and impaled people. Okay. Cass had long since learned not to try to anticipate where things were going where Robert was concerned. He often had very different ideas about what was reasonable, or hell, even feasible.
You may have already heard, but the exec team has recently been talking about developing closer ties with some big media properties.
She had heard, funnily enough. Not a lot, just a passing comment one of the higher-up assistants made in the break room, about how much work scheduling was now that we're trying to get TV execs on board. Cass hadn't really thought anything about it at the time. These things hardly ever mattered to events. They were much lower in the office hierarchy, despite the fact that their work was what kept the lights on. I've heard whispers, Cass admitted. Robert nodded sagely.
I figured, though I'm sure those whispers were far from thorough. So, for clarity's sake...
Robert grabbed a stack of papers from the corner of his desk and flipped it around with a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?